I want to share this morning. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to the book of Romans. It'll come up, book of Romans chapter 1. I'll read the passage to you. The whole passage is not on the screen, but you just listen carefully this morning. And I'll read this passage from Romans chapter 1 this morning. What I want to talk about this morning, we've got a theme this year. It's about being unashamed. And being unashamed, we've looked at different aspects, how we can actually stand before God, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and actually stand before Him and not be ashamed. And not everyone can do that. Sometimes the idea of coming to church or standing before God, some people think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do that. Or ultimately, when I die, how am I going to be when I stand before my Maker? Will I be ashamed of my life? And so we're talking about living a life and being unashamed before God. We talked about being unashamed in our life, that we can live a life that is free from shame. So many people get ravaged by guilt and just constantly on them. So many people suffer from depression, always on a down or always struggling because they're carrying a sense of shame upon their lives. And we talked about how we can be free from that. I want to talk about being unashamed with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16, I'll just read that verse first of all. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so this is what Paul is writing. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God. I really want to talk about that this morning. The gospel, it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And that's what we want to have a look at. But let's look at the whole passage in Romans chapter 1. I'll just listen carefully. I'll read it to you from verse 8 of Romans chapter 1. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith has been reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray now at last about God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but now have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the Gentiles. I'm obliged to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is from faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I want to put a challenge to us this morning and for every person that's here. First of all, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer this morning, if you know what salvation is, as Mariel said around communion, she said that life doesn't make sense without God in it. Well, if your life makes sense because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's in your heart this morning, I want to give you a challenge this morning about you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want to give you a challenge that you may also come to know the good news and that life for you will actually, maybe for the first time, click together and make sense. Because without God, life doesn't really make much sense. In fact, it's quite pointless, really, because you're just going to die. But with God, everything is so important in life. Paul says in verse 9 here, he says that God, whom I serve with my whole heart. One of the things about being a Christian is that we want to be people that are wholehearted about God. We're not playing church. We don't come here on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening to play church. There's plenty of things you can be playing. If you want to play something, go play footy, go play soccer, play something else. But if you're serious about what is important in life, then we're wholehearted about the things of God. We're wholehearted about coming together and worshiping Him, serving Him with our whole life. There's a wholeheartedness that God wants us and encourages us to have. And one of the areas is to be wholehearted in telling other people about Jesus Christ. Telling other people that Jesus died on the cross for them. We're not the only ones that are going to heaven and to enjoy eternal life with Him, that Jesus died for them as well. And my prayer is that we'd all be wholehearted in telling other people about Jesus Christ. Are you wholehearted? If you're a believer this morning, ask yourself, am I wholehearted about telling others the good news of Jesus Christ? I know you can answer that. I can't answer it for you. But are you wholehearted in that? You may be wholehearted in everything else. You're wholehearted in worship. You're lifting your hands up. You're wholehearted in coming to church. You're wholehearted in serving. You're wholehearted in all these things. But are we wholehearted in preaching the gospel, which simply means the good news of Jesus Christ, what he has done? Paul says in verse 15, which we read before, he says, that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel. There was an eagerness in Paul's life. He just couldn't wait. He just was so excited but so passionate about telling people that they don't have to go to hell. They don't have to have a life without meaning. They don't have to live without hope within their life. They don't have to live and be fearing that one day, well, I'm going to die and what will happen to me, that they can have a certainty and a knowledge, know 100% for sure what will happen to them. They have a certainty, a guaranteed. And so Paul was eager. He's eager to preach the gospel. How eager are we to tell other people about their hope? My prayer and encouragement this morning is that we will be eager to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why Paul was so eager in just a moment. And it's not just Paul who was one that was called to be the one that was supposed to be telling other people. Some people might say, well, that was fine for Paul. He was pretty cool. He was an apostle. He had it all together. Everything was fine. But 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself. So he made that peace with God, reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're a believer this morning, then God's given you a ministry. He's given you a job to do, a life vocation that you have to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell them they don't have to die in hopelessness. And the scripture says about people who live in the fear of death. What a horrible thing to be living in the fear of death. People go to the doctor. Oh, what's the doctor say? Am I going to die? Am I going to get good news? Am I going to get bad news? And or what might happen? People living in the fear of death all the time. We're the ones who need to tell them they don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in fear of death and disease, fear cancer, or fear all these things that can happen, accidents, tragedies that people are so fearful and bound up about. We don't have to live in fear if we know that. And it's up to us to tell people and to do whatever it takes to let people know, to be passionately telling people whatever it takes. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. Every possible means, do whatever it takes. As you know, we do a language program in the church. And it's been fantastic. We've got a lot of people waiting to come and do it. People have been touched by it. It's been absolutely fantastic, the language program we're doing in. But are we doing it because we're nice people doing a community service? Yeah, well, part of it is. I think we're nice people. Yeah, we're pretty nice people. And yes, it is serving our community, and it's meeting a real need that people have that just can't get jobs or find employment. They have trouble with the doctors or whatever it is because they just can't communicate in English clearly. Doing a great service. But why are we doing that? It's because we want to see these people not just be able to talk English well. We want to see them living forever, having the promise of Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes, whatever it means, it is. And that's the kind of heart that we have. Is we want people to know. We want people to know that they don't have to live a life without meaning, to live a life without hope, to live a life in fear. And we can do that. And I encourage you, whatever it takes, to be passionate about stirring one another up, but to reach out and touching people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things in this passage is we need that encouragement for one another. We do need encouragement because we know whether you're a believer or not, life is tough. Things happen in life. Good things happen, but bad things happen in life. We live in a world that pretty twisted, screwed up kind of a world, and all sorts of things will happen to us. And sometimes we do need that support. We do need other people to stand by us, encourage, and that's why it's so important to have a family, a church family, around us to support us, encouraging. One of the ways that Paul was saying to do that is he prays for them constantly. And I encourage you to be praying for one another. Pray for one another. Do you do that? Do you pray for one another? Pray for me, please. Pray for me. Paul says, pray for me. So I'm saying, please, pray for me. But all of you, pray for one another. Pray for each other. It's such an important thing to pray for one another. We need prayer. We need to be covered in prayer. So pray for one another. It's a great way that you can support other people is by praying for them. And I encourage you to do that. Pray for them. If you know someone who has a relative, they love the relative. No Christian wants to be in heaven, standing there in eternity with the joy of God and knowing their loved ones aren't there with them. What a horrible thing is now when there's no heartache, there's no pain in heaven. And so somehow in God, that's resolved. But in my mind here now, thinking, I thought, I can't imagine that. And so we want to see people that we love in heaven. We want to see them. That's our heart. We don't want to go to heaven without them. We want them there. And so we pray. Pray for that. If you know someone who has a relative, has a friend, has a workmate, and knows someone who doesn't know Jesus in their life, pray for them. Pray with them. Stand with them and say, well, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that your husband gets saved, that your neighbor gets saved, that your boss gets saved. Whatever the circumstance is, praying is so important. Paul talks about, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. When we gather together, don't underestimate the power that there is when we gather together as believers. There's an impartation one to the other. As we're honoring God and putting the Lord first, we encourage one another, you build one another up and strengthen one another. It's so important to do that. Fellowship is not talking about the grand final. And it's great to see saints in action, but saints are in action. We're in action every day, aren't we, saints, the true saints? Talking about the grand final and, you know, wow, what a thing. Everyone was stunned and, wow, it's a draw and whatever else. That's great and if you love football, fantastic, but that's not fellowship. Fellowship is where we're imparting. We're talking about the things of God. We're talking about when rubber hits the road. We're talking about life issues, what's important, not just about a game, which is just a game. Even Chris Judd said that. It's just a game at the end of the day. But we're talking about life. We're talking about what is important. We're talking about eternal things because ultimately this life is not about what happens on a weekend or what happens at work tomorrow or happens day to day. It's about what happens in eternity. That's what life's about. And so it's so important that we encourage one another in the things of God. He talks about a mutual encouragement. He says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And when you're on fire for God, man, does that encourage me? I'm encouraged by that. When I see you passionate about the gospel, when I see people that are reaching out, who really care about their family, love them enough, and to invite them along to church for whatever event or reason, who really have a heart for them, they care for them. That's why there's family members that have come here because you're dearly loved. Those that have come along for the dedication, you're loved. That's why you're here. You're important. You're very important to the family. That's why they invited you. And and I'm sure that their heart would be that you might know what it is to be truly loved of God and to enjoy that. So it's important that we encourage one another. Paul starts off by saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever been ashamed of something? When somebody is ashamed of something, it's something that you're ashamed of. It's something that you probably do in secret. If you're ashamed of something, you probably hide away and think, well, I can do this thing because nobody knows, no one's looking, not hurting anyone, and they're ashamed and we try to hide away to do that. If you're ashamed of something, you will do that. Of course, obviously, you can hide as much as you like. God's everywhere, He sees everything. It doesn't matter where we try, you can't hide from God anyway. But it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but some people, are you ashamed of the gospel? So, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but are you? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you believe Him? People that are ashamed of something, they don't talk about it. Man, I don't talk about it. You know, I'm doing something on the side I shouldn't do. Or some people that smoke who run out the corner and try to hide and because they're ashamed of it. Or whatever it is, they don't want to talk about it. It's something you're ashamed of. You never talk about it. You do it in secret and you certainly won't want to talk about it. You don't want anyone to know about it if you are ashamed of something. And the fact, even when the topic's brought up, you're incredibly embarrassed. You're embarrassed by it. Oh, man, don't talk about that. That's embarrassing. You just feel embarrassed even when the subject's raised. And so you'll know whether are you ashamed? Are you embarrassed? Do you don't tell anyone about it? Do you secretly come to church? What did you do on the weekend? Oh, nothing. Nothing, man. You were in the house of God and God spoke to me. God touched my life. So don't be ashamed. One of the things is that as Christians, ultimately, God's only called us as Christians to be witnesses. And what a witness does, if you've got a courtroom, the witness just stands up and says, well, this is what I saw. This is what happened. This is what happened to me. And that's all Christians were called to do, just to be a witness. We're not supposed to be prosecutors that we go for someone and try to tell them, no, you're out of line, you're out of order, you're doing the wrong thing. That's not our job as Christians to tell people that. But we're not judges. We're not there to tell people, well, you're this, you're that, you're right, you're wrong. That's not our job either. We're just a witness. We just say, this is what God did for me and what God did in my life, how Jesus has changed my life. That's what we do as a witness. We're not defense attorneys either. We're not there defending and saying, oh, we have to have every answer to everything. We don't have to do that. We don't have to be experts. We're not all experts. We're just a witness that Jesus did something real in my life, and it's changed me not only for this life, but in fact, it's changed my life forever. And every one of us can be that witness. And some people think that they have to know everything or whatever else. You don't have to know everything. Billy Graham Association, they did a survey about people telling other people about Jesus. And in Detroit, they did this for a Billy Graham crusade as part of preparation. And in preparation of that, they basically said that 9% of those that were of Christians, this is, they're just too busy to tell people. That's fine, yeah, I know I've got to do it. I'm just too busy. I've just got this, I've got this on, I've got this on. I'm just too busy. You talk about it. Yeah, I know, I feel ashamed now. I feel a bit embarrassed but I'm just too busy. That's 9% of people that they surveyed said that. 28% of people said, I just don't know enough. I just don't know. I don't know what I'd say. What would I do? 28% of people lacked information. 12% said, look, my life really isn't up to scratch. That, you know, if I open my mouth, they're going to look at you and say, you know, hypocrite. 12%, but overwhelmingly 51% said they were afraid about what other people might say. That when they actually tell them that Jesus loves them, that life actually doesn't make sense without God, and actually show them that actually that there is something far greater than the daily grind, just paying the bills and paying the mortgage and the 9 to 5, the Monday to Friday work, and whatever it is, there's a lot more to life in that. There's a lot more point in life. And so know that there is something so very, very special. And 55% of people were just, 51% were ashamed and saying, I'm just, you know, they might think I'm an idiot, they might think I'm crazy, they might think anything of me, and so they don't say anything. That isn't that a horrible, horrifying thing to find that so many people, when, you know, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. The reality is, When the rubber hits the road, a lot of people are really uneasy about it. Paul was able to say very boldly, now none of us like other people rejecting us. No one likes being rejected. Hands up if you like being rejected. Yeah, okay, we'll pray for you later on. No one likes being rejected, do they? But one of the reasons why is that, and when the reality is, if Paul was said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but how many of you realistically, honestly, can stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel, the good news, which is basically for you as your own testimony, what Jesus did for me. You don't have to know everything about everything. I don't know anyone who knows everything about everything. But you know what Jesus did for you. You know that he's your Lord and Savior. You know that your life is different. You know that your sins are forgiven. And to be forgiven is such a wonderful thing. It's such a freeing thing to be free of guilt, free of shame, to know that you can be confident before God. You don't have to slink around, oh, sorry, God, all the time. You can come to the Lord and come to him as your Father who just loves you. What a wonderful thing that is. And so, but why do sometimes people struggle? And this is the main point that I want to get to this morning, is about the scripture says, because it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of God, it says. I'll read the script passage for you. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Because it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter how educated you are or whether you're not educated. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what language you speak. All of those things are totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. What's important is how does my own heart respond to God? And why do we struggle sometimes in telling people about it? Well, yet we're fearful that they'll think we're lunatics or something, or they think, well, what's happened to you or whatever. We're fearful of rejection. But I think the main reason why we don't tell people about what Jesus has done for them is because we don't understand that it's the power of God. It is the power of God. When you tell someone the good news, which is what gospel means, the good news of the gospel, it is the power of God And just think about that for a moment. Just think how powerful God is for a moment. Just think of how big our universe is. Well, they're still trying to find out where the size of our universe. They don't really know because they think they found the universe and man, there's a whole other area and bigger, the bigger the telescopes, the further they get. Whatever it is, he's a pretty big God. He's created an awesome word that has engineered you, which is just an amazing feat of engineering that is impossible to evolve. And they just look at the human eye and evolutionists just freak out because they know there's no way that a human eye can evolve. There's just no way. They realize they understand it and they shudder when they hear people talking about the human eye. The amazing God has engineered the stars, the universe. He's made you and beautifully and wonderfully made each and every one of us. He is a mighty God. And just think that when you are sharing your faith, you're telling someone else what Jesus has done for me, how he died on the cross in my place. Is it all the rotten stuff in my life that he took away? He took all the rubbish out of my life. And in the place for all the stuff where I let him down, I let others down, I let myself down, all of that stuff, when I gave him all that, he actually gives me his very righteousness. Perfection, as far as God sees, is placed upon my life. Bit of a raw deal in terms of a transaction. I give you a whole pile of junk and you give me perfect life, eternal life, and you make me perfect before God. But that's exactly what happens when we give our life to Jesus Christ. And it's the power of God is behind you, it's you sharing. If we understood that when you open your mouth and you tell someone how much Jesus loves them, that he died for them on the cross. But what he did for me, we might think, oh, my testimony's not very good. You know, it's not very, you know, I never murdered anyone and then I got saved. I wasn't a drug dealer. I wasn't. The important thing is that when you share, is the power of God is behind it. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget it, that the gospel, the good news, has the power of God. It is the power of God for salvation. And a lot of the reason why we're worried about what people think of us, or we're shy, or we're scared, or we're ashamed, or embarrassed, is because we forget that the gospel is the power of God. So when you tell someone and you think, well, I don't know enough, doesn't matter. What you do know is what Jesus did for you. No one can ever argue with that, by the way, because there's a reality in that. You're a living witness. And so if you're sharing that, there's a power of God that is unlocked and unleashed when we share that. Don't ever forget that. Our faltering attempts, our stumbling words, have actually the power of God is behind that when we share. So that's why Paul can be so confident and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation. If you suddenly realize that, if you understand that there's a credible power of God when we speak the truth, when we speak the words of life, when we speak the good news of what Jesus Christ has done and who he is, what an incredible, powerful thing that is. And I encourage us to do that. Be sharing your faith, knowing that when you share your faith, there's a power of God is behind that. The Holy Spirit is there. God wants people reconciled to him more than we do. He wants to see them in their eternal kingdom. Scripture says God doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants to see everyone saved, but he gives them a choice. He doesn't force it on anyone. He wants everyone to make their own choice. But for us to help people, to encourage them, to show them a way, if we know that the power of God is ministering there, it's so important. And it talks about the gospel, about a righteousness from God. Because quite often a lot of people struggle with being a Christianity and religion. Because religion has been good enough, doing enough stuff, trying to get yourself over the line. But the scripture here tells us that it's a righteousness from God. It's something from God. It's God's righteousness. You can never be good enough. Anyone who's ever trying to be good enough for God, give up, because you're never going to do it. You're never going to cut it. You'll never be good enough for a holy, perfect God in your own right. You just can't do it. Religion is the quest to become perfect, to become somehow good enough for God. That's what religion is. And religion kills people, because they can never cut it. They're never going to make it. They're not going to ever be able to cross that line. But the good news is because of Jesus Christ, is that it's a righteousness from God. It's good standing with God, right standing with God, which comes from God himself, which is given through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's an important message that is in the gospel. It's a righteousness from God. And it says it's revealed, there's a revelation. Some people, they hear the things of God and it's just like, doesn't compute with me. Well, my prayer is that when we speak, that there will be something, the power of God, but there will be a revelation that happens, because there's a revelation. The light suddenly comes on. All of us that are Christians, one day you weren't a Christian, next day you were. Well, what happened? Didn't have a lobotomy, no. Something powerful happened. The power of God touched your life. The light actually went on for the first time. For the first time, you actually saw, oh, you're real? You sure? Wow. I've been going around with like blinkers on my whole life. I didn't know. I've got dirt all over my glasses and I thought the world was blurry. Man, suddenly everything is clear and I didn't know that. And suddenly when we become a Christian, everything changes. The whole light comes on. There's meaning in life. There's purpose in life. There's hope in life. Everything changes when we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the first time, the light comes on. And when that light comes on, man, it is the best thing that will ever happen to you in your life. All of those that are here that have made that decision said, once the light goes on, there's no turning back, because you suddenly have a joy in your life, a purpose, a sense of being free, a sense of being clean, a sense of being acceptable, a sense of purpose, destiny. Wonderful things happen in our lives. And so there is that revelation. And the scripture says, finally, it says it's a journey of faith from beginning to end. It starts with faith. And faith is coming to God and saying, God, I don't necessarily understand everything, but there's something about what is built. I've been heard about what Jesus did for me. I know I didn't deserve it, but he did it for me anyway, that he died in my place, took my punishment that I deserved. I don't really understand that. I don't understand why he would do that. But I'm going to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I just want to come this day and I want to give my life to Christ. Someone that loves me enough to take my punishment to die in my place, I want to grab a hold of that. And that's what it means to come into. That's a step of faith from the beginning of faith. It's a journey of faith. Don't have all the answers. Don't have it all right. Some people maybe slipped away. And maybe there's some people here this morning that maybe at some stage you've actually said, yes, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And then you've just taken a few steps back and sort of looking around and maybe you just slip back. Well, maybe today's a good day to say, Lord, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to stand before you this day and I'm going to be real about life, what is important, not only for me and for my children, but for my family, because I want to see them in heaven as well. I want to see them with me. But just remember that when we share the things of God, it's the power of God. I want to close with this last scripture. And just remember this, all those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you share your faith, you unlock something. It's not just the words out of your mouth. Something powerful begins to happen because the power of God is behind that when we share our faith. It says, this is Isaiah 51:16. He says, I put my words, this is God's words, in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. So he's going to protect us. He'll actually help us what to say. He'll actually put his words in our mouth. He'll help us what to say. I put my words in your mouth and I've covered you with the shadow of my hand. So it's okay, it's cool. I'm going to protect you, I'm with you, you're not going to fall flat on your face. I'm going to look after you. I put my words in your mouth, covered you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. And I want us to remember that this morning, that when we open our mouth and tell people that it's the power of God for salvation. Why are people ashamed sometimes? Because they don't realize that this the power of God is unlocked when we tell people. Tell people, be bold, be able to say and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't secretly a Christian, I just will never talk about it. No, that's a shame. But I'm going to tell people and I'm going to show them because I care enough for them. I love them enough that I want them to know. I love them enough that I want them to know. And anyone that's here this morning, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, my encouragement to you today is let the light come on. Begin to see life. Begin to see new meaning, new purpose. Why are you walking on this earth? Why has God put you here? What am I here for? And begin to see those questions answered. What will happen when I die? We'll have that question answered. Have hope and life upon your life. So I'm going to ask us to stand this morning. I'm going to pray. So we just close the service this morning. So our custom is to give an invitation for people to come forward. And after I pray, I want to give you the opportunity. Particularly if you're someone that you've known the Lord and maybe you've just let other things just come in, slipped away, I would love to pray with you this morning. If you've never actually given your life to Jesus Christ and never done that, you're here because someone loved you enough to invite you along. But you've never made that commitment, I'm just going to invite you to come forward. And it's just a step of faith. We talked about faith. Make your way and we're going to pray with you. Anyone else that's here this morning, you need prayer, you need healing, sick, relationship issues, whatever it is, we will quite happily pray for you at the end of the service. But let's just bow our heads together and join together in faith this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the good news, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, Lord, that you died in our place, took our sin upon yourself, that we might not have to take punishment and suffer for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you took that away. And Lord, in its place, you've given us freedom, you've given us life, you've given us hope, you've given us eternal life, Lord. So, Father, we are just so grateful for everything that has been done for us. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone that is here this morning. Those that love you, Lord, I pray, Lord, they'll just be stirred with such a passion. Lord, they'll be eager to share the gospel, Lord, that they'll be eager, Father, they'll be wholeheartedly wanting to share their faith, Lord, because they know the power of God is behind their testimony, behind as they tell people how much God loves them. Father, I pray, let every believer be strong this morning. And those, Lord, who don't know you, Father, I pray that you touch their heart. Lord, they might not understand everything, not know every answer, but Lord, you're just tugging at their heart today. Give them the courage, Father. Give them the courage to come and say, yeah, okay, I need it. Now's the day. Now's the time. I really need to get my life right with God. So, Father, I just thank you for this morning. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, for the Mercy Good family, Father, Lord, for little Jacob, Father, Lord, for all the family members that have come, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you bless them richly, each and every one of them, Father. Lord, again, we just pray, Lord, for all those that will be traveling, Lord, this day and over tomorrow, Lord, while the international convention's on, Father. Lord, let that just be a powerful time, Father. And Lord, I just pray for everyone, Lord, let your blessing reside in every single person this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.